This one had a lot of action. This one had a lot of storytelling, world building. They were building on the first one, and they were building even more.
Yeah.
So you were getting into you were really getting into the messy politics, the diplomatic stuff. It was very interesting. I remember thinking, I liked the part where they cut to just the Harkonnen world.
Oh, yeah.
And how big this arena looked, how gray and black and just abysmal the place
I
was.
I like the cinematography, but it was beautifully and editing done. Choice.
Some music that I can dance to.
Right. Yeah. Vibe is cool if you just want to bob your head, but sometimes you just want to be able to be the ones where you're in the car.
Make you feel like you want to get up and dance.
Google Play puts it on and you're you just got to sing along.
Right.
And anybody who's looking. I remember I was coming from Peanut and Eli's ninja class one day, and we were leaving, so my brother and Tiffany and them pulled into the lane next to me, and I don't even know what song it was, but I was singing and bobbing.
Me too.
And they were next to me, and they were looking at my brother, was just like,
with me, what are you doing? And I'd be like, look at me all you want. I want people to look at me. Catch me. And I'd be like, are you dancing? I don't know what you're listening to because I'm dancing.
Right? But it's just one of those ones where when it comes on, you just got to be like, oh, yeah, this is my song.
I don't want no whips and chains. I like a song where as soon as you hear, you get up and dance.
Right?
Like that Lizzo song, Anyway. As soon as you hear, Anyway, hey. It's about that time. It's bad bitch o'clock. Yeah, it's thick 30.
That's why anytime on the podcast when you say Anyway, I'm like, Anyway.
Me too. I had to take it off because I was like, this is going to be my new, I don't want it to mess up my YouTube music thing, because I was like, nah, I need to figure out the songs I really listen to all the time. So I was like, because it was just playing. And I was like, Anyway. And I was like, oh. And I was like, no, I can't have this one be because it's going to ruin the song for me. And I don't want to ruin that song. But that song is fire.
Or it really is.
Lyman Green till they got to be great. You just get up.
See, I love, what is it? Is it Rumors? Oh, Rumors.
Oh, yeah.
That one is like an undercover,
that one is asleep. Like, you just gotta.
And then the one she does with Missy Elliott, which one is that?
Is that the one about men?
No, it's not men.
Is it Tyrone?
Man. It's not Tyrone.
Girl, we need to start recording. It's 4:30.
We recording, girl.
What? Come on now. Not all. You got to cut some of this because we can't. We've been talking for a good 20 minutes. You didn't even say nothing.
You don't know when I started. We haven't.
I don't know when you started. That's what I'm saying.
It's not bad.
I thought
it's
you were
bad.
Still doing your review.
Hey, everybody.
No, you try to cut. Nah, man, Whitney. Nah. She tried to catch me, y'all. Like, I usually know when she's done, but she's. That's not cool, Whitney. That's not cool.
I'm sorry.
You gotta let somebody know when you're starting the recording, because we could have just been here. I literally was just like, "Oh, we just talking about music right now," and then I was like, "Let's start recording."
But that's what we do. We talk, girl. We talk.
Yeah, but then I was just like, I literally was just going on a whole tangent about. Anyway, we talking about music, y'all. But
tempo. That's what it is.
Oh yeah.
Because tempo. It really is about the tempo on that one.
Right,
Ooh, yeah.
Anyway, guys. Hello. How you doing?
What's up? Y'all.
It's your girl, Triple F Queen Bola.
No tagline, Whitney.
And we are Blur Talk with Bola and Whitney.
What's up?
Hi, everybody. The two listeners that listen. How y'all doing?
How you
anyway,
doing?
Anyway, today's episode, we are going to be talking about and reviewing
Dune Part 2.
I keep calling it Dune 2 because
And I told Bola she shouldn't call it Dune 2 because it makes it seem like
not?
Doom 2. And then it makes me want to be like, Doom Machale.
And people don't know what that is.
Once more, come on, you people.
They don't know what that is.
Doom Machale, Doom Machale.
Like the one Indian person that might be listening might know.
Doom Machale.
This is a Bollywood. But it's Dune 2. Doom. But it is Part 2. You're right. This was the actual film title is Dune Part 2.
Yes.
So it is Part 2, so it's like an extension of the first one. But well, I was like, it's number 2, so it's like Dune 2, bam. Just symbolize, simplify stuff, you know what I mean?
No, sometimes I don't think it's necessarily creative, but you know what I thought was kind of cool? Is that the way that they, did you know they're making a new Beetlejuice movie? A sequel?
Yeah, I heard that.
I thought that the title that they decided on, I like the way they did it. Do you
What's
know what
the
it's
title?
Called? Make a guess.
Beetlejuice, Back in the Juice?
No. Think about what you have to do to summon him.
You have to Beetlejuice. You have to say his name three times.
Mm-hmm. But this is the second movie.
Oh, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Yes.
Ah.
So I liked that. I thought it was kind of clever.
Okay. That's the second one.
Yes.
Ah, but I thought you had to say his name three times.
You do have to say his name three times, but since this is the second movie, they're calling it Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Oh.
So that's why I thought it was clever.
I just feel like Beetlejuice should just be left where it was. Like, I liked where it was in the time period it was. Anyway, we had this long conversation about this.
I love Beetlejuice. It's like, it's a favorite movie of mine. But if they do a good job, not like Hocus Pocus 2, but if they do a good job, I'm for it.
I was actually more of a fan of Beetlejuice, the TV animation series.
That was really fun.
I actually watched that before I watched the live action.
Really?
So that's why I was like, there's a live action? And then I was like, okay, this is cool, but my TV, my cartoon, though. I was such a fan of the cartoon.
I was a big fan of the cartoon, too. But no, I actually saw the movie first. And you know what? I think I'm really in love with movies that use music really effectively.
And that's all of them. All of them use music effectively.
Jump on the line, walk your body on time. Okay,
oh, the pirate era dancing. Yeah.
Or when they were like possessing the parents, and it's like, I forgot what song they were using for that part. But they used a lot of that guy's same songs.
Like the reggae?
It's a specific guy. I forget who sings the like, jump on the line, rock your body
somebody
on time.
Black, or they stole it from somebody black.
I think he's like, maybe he's half black, or he's like Hispanic, like a kind of darker skin, but not like.
Are you talking about Desi Arnaz?
No, who sings it? Jumping,
girl.
You know what?
Know.
Okay, you keep going. I'm gonna find
out. I
don't
know.
Who this
okay.
guy is.
Anyway, today on the pod we got some blurting out, and then
Harry
we have
Belafonte.
And then we also have a specific. And then we also have a special nerd blurred update from me. Where we talk about some things all nerdy, blurdy, all that kind of good stuff. So Whitney, why don't we start out with you? Before we get into the review, we always do what? Blurred out. Blurred out. Blurred out. Blurred out.
All right, so I got to finish this thought, you guys, because it would bother
goodness.
Me.
You blurred out. And
Harry Belafonte. He is.
I can't with you.
He has a Scottish Jamaican mother and an Afro Jamaican father. So kind of like not fully.
He's half. He's mixed. Up
yeah,
in there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But sorry. That just,
okay.
That just
I'm not gonna say he stole it.
His movie. His music was fire.
Yeah.
And I love that that movie.
Since he's half black, I will let it pass because otherwise I'm gonna be like.
And
I know
he's part Jamaican as well, so it makes sense.
Yeah, that's what I said. Since he's half black, I'll let it go because I was like, I'm pretty sure a white dude stole that from some black people. That's what I thought when I heard that song because I was like, I can tell a white person sings this song, but it just could be the time period. Since you said Harry Belafonte and he's half black, so I'll let him pass. I'll let it pass. Black people, don't let them steal your stuff.
Okay.
All right, Whitney, you ready for your blurting out?
Yeah, I only really, well, no, okay. I would have only had one thing
so you're
to
not
blurt
ready?
Yes, I okay. am. I was about to say that I would have only had one thing to blurt out about, but because of what we did today, I have two.
Sweet.
Yeah. So the first thing I have to blurt out about is actually today I watched Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. It's on Max now, so I got a chance to watch. I really enjoyed it.
It was not bad. It was a watch.
It was similar to Aquaman where it's like a really fun watch. Maybe even better than the first one. But yeah, I thought it was a really solid, good. It was a really good movie.
I thought this one doesn't suck. DC, that's what I thought.
Oh, you see?
I watched it with my nieces like a long time ago. To me, I wasn't like that gung ho about like afterwards, and just because I was like, I don't want to review this because I just like it's a watch. To me, I just gave it like a 7 or a 6.5. But I didn't think it was a bad film. If you get a 7.
I wouldn't get it drop it down to 6.1. I think I would go like maybe 7.5. I think that's probably what
it's
I would
not
done.
Bad. It's a good watch. So that's why I was like, it's not
fun.
As bad as all the
it's
other
good.
DC movies have been. You know I don't like DC. but I love Jason
but
Momoa.
They might turn it around. You should really watch Peacemaker. I think you would.
I know everyone keeps saying that. That's the one with the boys, right?
Peacemaker is so fun, huh?
That's the one from the boys, right?
No, that's a different, completely different universe. Oh. Peacemaker is. You haven't seen The Suicide Squad either.
No.
Okay. So it's a spinoff from The Suicide Squad. Not Suicide Squad, but The Suicide Squad, which is like the second movie they made.
Is that the one with or without Will Smith?
Without.
Okay.
That's the better one? Yeah.
Margot Robbie's in both, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but that's the one without Will Smith.
Correct. Mm-hmm. That's the one with Idris Elba.
playing Will Smith's role.
No, they just like
got rid of his character.
Not exactly got rid of his character. They didn't do a story with his character.
Okay.
Yeah, because Idris Elba is not like he's playing Will Smith's part. It's just like a different team.
Gotcha.
But they still have Margot Robbie because she's just fantastic as Harley Quinn. So why get rid of a good thing?
She's fantastic in general. So
that is true. That is very true. But The Suicide Squad is a fun movie. We should watch it. I think you would like it. It's really cool. It's fun.
Suicide Squad?
Mm-hmm. The Suicide Squad.
The Suicide Squad?
Exactly.
Okay.
And then Peacemaker is a spinoff from The Suicide Squad, and it stars John Cena, who, you know, used to be a wrestler. And it is just so much fun. And it also has not Danielle Coleman. Is it Danielle Coleman who played Sophia from The Color Purple, the new musical?
Her name is Danielle Brooks.
Brooks, thank you. Danielle Brooks is in there, and that's one of the kind of first things that I know her from. So when she was in The Color Purple, I actually kind of already, oh, that's right, she was also in Orange is the New Black.
Yep.
Okay, never mind. I knew her first from Orange is the New Black, and then I saw her in, like, Peacemaker. But it's a really fun, it's, like, actually good DC.
Okay.
But also probably because what's his name was involved with it from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, that guy, the director.
Yeah, which is probably why it's good.
Okay.
But anyway, I don't know where I was going. Oh, but yeah, Aquaman, it was a nice movie to like complete the DCEU being done.
Right.
So it was a solid ending. Mm. They stuck the landing because there was a number. I was actually looking at Wikipedia after I watched Aquaman and the Last Kingdom. And they were saying that I think they made 15 movies in the DCEU, and only and 8 of them did not like make their money back. I'm like, damn.
8 out of 15 didn't make their money back?
That's more than that. I know, right?
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. Like I said, like,
yeah.
The Flash was trash. I really disliked The Flash.
Yeah.
I really disliked the Guardian, not the Guardians. I really disliked the Justice League. And I never even watched that one.
Justice League I didn't have as much of a problem with. It wasn't like awesome, but I didn't have a problem with it.
I didn't like Batman.
But Batman versus Superman.
I just don't like Ben Affleck as Batman. I was just like, y'all did a casting.
I don't like him as Batman either.
The casting is not correct there.
Yeah.
It's just not.
I was not.
Is the Batman part of the DCEU or is it totally different? The one with the guy from Twilight?
I don't know if you can. No, it's not in the same universe.
Okay, so
I guess
it's totally separate.
But I don't know if you
I
can
heard
say
that was
it's
good.
Part of it's great. You should really watch it. I thought it was great. It's like, yeah, it's fantastic.
Okay. So what else are you blurting out about?
I'm also blurting out about. Damn it! What's the name of it?
Oh, the Black Market.
Yes, the Black Market.
Yeah.
That me and Balaji went to today.
Blurred outing.
Yes, it was a blurred outing. And Bola was like, she asked me early in the week, and then she was like, oh, I guess you don't want to go. But I have this thing where I sometimes forget to answer text message, and then, like, you know, all these, like, promotional ones come in, so then it gets moved down, so I forget, and I was like, oh, shit. I mean, yeah, sorry, guys. But I was like, oh, I don't think I responded to Bola's text message. So then I went back, and as I was typing my response to be like, I could see you typing, and then you're like, okay, I guess we're not going. And I was like, I was just about to respond.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't see it. So then we ended up
I was like,
going.
It was days. It was days I didn't get a reply back.
It was 2 days.
Y'all see how she be doing me, y'all?
I'm sorry.
Y'all see?
That's just kind of in general, my bad.
It's okay.
But
I'm just glad you decided to go because
yeah,
it was actually really fun.
I'm glad that you like suggested it because we went. It's super raining all day. We're like looking outside. It's completely gray.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. That's how it feels outside. But I actually do like the rain.
I can't stand the rain.
It's just those rainy days
against my window.
Trying to wash
cause
away.
He ain't feeling me
till the sun comes out and shines again.
Memories. I
Long
can't stand the rain.
Chasing waterfall. Oh, that one doesn't have rain in it. We were just going with the rain. All the rain theme songs. Yeah. Raindrops falling on my head. Okay, let me stop. Go ahead,
Vicky. Yeah. You know, it's funny because I was thinking to myself, I was like, what are we going to do for March besides this? And I was looking because at first I had Spider-Man, if it was actually coming out when it was originally supposed to, probably would have had to been for April because it was originally scheduled for March 29th. Mm. But then I looked it up on IMDb.
Which Spider-Man?
Beyond the Spider-Verse, so the sequel.
Oh, I don't think it's coming out right now. When is it coming out? Next year, I think.
They don't even have like a date on IMDb.
I didn't think it was going to come out anytime soon.
It says in production, so they're like currently working on it. So they don't even have like a
that thing is not
going
to come out to like 2025.
Yeah, but I was so mad. But I was disappointed because I can't be disappointed because as long as they do it well, then I'll be fine. Mm. And the first two were like fire, so I'm sure they'll do it.
Honestly,
well.
It might come out 2026.
Oh, no, no.
These films take a long time to make. Animations take a long time to make. Animated films take a long time to make.
But I'm wondering, because I'm like, I know voice work-wise that the, I don't know if they were already done writing it or not, but like I know the actor strike would have affected like recording,
mm-hmm.
but animation, there was no strikes that I know of for that, but I don't know if they need, if I think the most of actors. Them do these voice
so,
acting
yeah.
first.
Everything got
then,
pushed back. That's why I say 2026, honestly, because you got to look at the gap between the first one and then the one that came out last year.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good, but yeah, but anyway.
That's a bummer. But anyway, I don't know. I tangented so far off.
I was like, yeah. I was like, why are we on Spider-Man again?
I don't know.
Okay, so we are blurring out about the black market because the black market was a nice event. It's about supporting local black-owned businesses. As you know, Blurred means black nerd.
Yes.
We are blurreds, and we are all about the black power. So in the coin, in life, in the art, in expression,
power
we just want
to
uplift our people. Exactly. Sorry for you vanilla, mocha, choco people. I don't know what y'all are. But we are all about the blackness, okay? We bliggity what?
Bliggity
black. Scat, 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 okay? That might be our new slogan.
Scat, scat, scat.
Okay, that might be our new slogan.
We'll probably get like a copyright infringement.
Be like, Robin, don't come for me. We're just enjoying your work, okay?
Scat, scat, scat.
But we enjoyed it because we went and saw, like, it was a huge vibe. Shout out to the DJ for that event. He was just doing his thing.
Yeah, the DJ was fire.
The music was good. I love how he mixed some Afrobeats in it. You hear Whitney? She's trying to sing some WizKid and Thames, y'all. Essence. That song is fire.
It is fire.
The DJ was good. The space was good. I was like, I don't even know what Red Social Club. Guys, if any of you know what a social club is, let me know. Because I was like, you have to be a member.
I wanted to know too. Like, what is this?
Yeah, because the place was really nice inside.
It was nice.
I was like, I like this
but
spot.
I also appreciated the fact that it was like, it wasn't small, but it wasn't super big.
Mm.
But I thought that it was like really well done and well used.
Right. I agree. I thought it was really nice.
And this is like the first one. So this was like, that's especially good. Usually like kinks to work out for a first event, but it was like just great.
So it was like the black people in a certain PR firm, advertising agency, decided they wanted to showcase the black artists in this way. So they came together and made this event and brought everybody together just to showcase it. And so I saw them on 12 About Town. Thanks, Candace. Shout out to you because I love going and watching 12 About Town because you get to find out what's going on in your own city.
Mm.
And I find out about so many different things and opportunities and just interesting things that are going on. So you can't just say, my city's boring or whatever. No, you have to go out and search out and there's things happening everywhere.
Yeah.
So no excuses. So we just went to go check out what was going on. And we had some great tea. Adorna tea.
I actually
her name.
Bought some. Oh, I forgot to brew it. Sorry.
She's going to brew us some. It's okay. Before I leave, I want some tea. I want some tea, Whitney. You can give me the tea, spill the tea, and pour the tea.
Yeah.
And we got some art, some stickers. The lovely artist that I love running into her everywhere in Richmond. So I love seeing her when I see events.
I bought a bookmark from her. It is beautiful.
I bought one of her tote bags because I loved it so much. Mm-hmm. She's a really great artist. I'm going to put her information in the show notes. I love seeing her again at this event. I was like, I'm going to see you everywhere you're in town. I followed her everything.
You should
and then
take
I bought some earrings.
And post it also of the stickers that the
that's a really good idea.
Because they gave a free tote bag in these stickers. And you can just tell that they're like a firm that knows how to do graphic design well.
Right.
Because I'm like, these stickers are really well designed and they're so cool.
Right.
I got two because I'm like, ooh.
So I'm going to post the picture of the stickers, the fluorescent ones we got. No, fluorescent. The holographic ones we got and the stickers that the black market people design. And they designed tote bags for the event. Mm-hmm. Gave us free tote bags. I thought it was really cool. So if they do black market again, you guys got to come out. You know, all those local RVA
really
people.
Cool.
Yeah. So that was a good event. All right, Whitney. So are you done blurting out?
I'm done, girl.
All right. So I got a list. I'm going to try and keep it as short as possible because I'm also going to be doing the blurred update. So I'm really blurting out about a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
The first one I would say is an animated series.
Okay.
Now, this animated series is called Iwaju. And Iwaju is the new series on Disney Plus. It's a short animated series. It's 6 episodes, and it's like animation. Mm-hmm. But it is so awesome. It is based off of Nigerian culture, so it was like a futuristic Lagos, but it's still. Because one of the things I like was the way that Disney even got involved in this project was that they had seen the creators of these three Africans from Nigeria and one person from Uganda talk. They really kind of called Disney out that, Disney doesn't like making African stories because none of their animations have African stories. Lion King doesn't count. Mm-hmm. And of course, let's not talk about Tiana right now. I'm not going to talk about Tiana. Okay. Frog and the Princess, I was like, no, we need a better black princess. But anyway, so they called Disney out. They're like, Disney doesn't like to make African stories. Mm. So, and they called them out. And they're like, we're going to beat Disney one day. So they boldly said it. But they didn't know that the person that ended up finding their video clip and reading an article about them was one of the Disney head story writers, like story makers. Mm. So she was like, this is interesting. Let's contact them and come together and make something. So you guys, shoot your shot. Like, go out there and do, because that's literally what they did. They said that we're going to come up, make African stories and make them well and be great animated studios. Mm-hmm. And we're going to beat Disney. And because of that, Disney was like, well, you know what? Let's just join with you.
Yeah. Help and us make great.
Right. And so Iwaju was a story. It's so well made. I know it's like Nigerian. You're just like, well, you're Nigerian. Yeah, I'm going to talk about it all the time. But Iwaju is actually such an awesome. They could have made that man a movie and it would have been fine too. Mm-hmm. But they made it in like a little series and put it on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. I think they should have just put it in the theaters, but that's fine. It was phenomenal. Like, I literally was just going to watch one episode and then go to sleep. Me and my mom, my sister, we binge watched the whole thing. Okay. It's not very long anyway. It's only like 20 minutes each one. Okay. But it was so well done. The story was good. The animation was good. The cultural, like, I was like, oh my God, they really got some Nigerians to make this film. And then I watched a documentary called Iwaju Moving Forward, Moving Ahead, that played right after it. Mm-hmm. And we got to see how they developed the story. And I love stuff like that. Love hearing from the creators, the process. I was impressed with Disney for going this far. It took them like years to make this, but they stuck in there. They worked. They got everything. Like, Disney really were like, no, we want to join, make partnerships with you all to tell your stories. And it was an awesome collaboration. It is such a good, like, animated series. I was like, it really should have been a movie that they just had in the theaters. But it's such a good quality, and I highly recommend you guys watch it. And Iwaju means forward or ahead, or if you look at the future, you can put Odo Iwaju means the future, right? So that's what they were saying. They wanted to showcase and title the film that because they're like, this is the future. Mm-hmm. For Africa, for African storytellers. Mm-hmm. And I love that Nigerian creators were at the helm of this, because Disney has not done anything like this. The animated studios. Mm-hmm. Let's say Disney animated studios have not done anything like this. Mm-hmm. And so I have to applaud Disney again for getting up in there and really showing out and really letting these people tell the story the way they do. Like, I watched the process and they were explaining how some writers were involved and they're like, they wanted to write a line a certain way, but I was like, but she was like, no, the Africans were telling her, no, that's not the way Africans would understand that. So she had to change the lines because she was like, you're right. This doesn't translate to what they would say. So they're like, they're not going to say this is not a problem for them. This is something that, and she had to back down and be like, you know what? You're right. So I like that, hearing that they really was like, no, we have a cultural consultant. We're working with you, explain things so people are learning things about the Nigerian culture, the Lagosian culture, because they're just to make this film. They even have it in Pidgin English. Like, Pidgin English is like the main language spoken in Nigeria. So everybody knows. And all of West Africa actually knows Pidgin English. So to have and listen and hear that, I was like, oh my God, it really went in. They had music made, everything. So I really highly recommend Iwaju. It's so good, Whitney. I think you should watch it too.
Okay.
It's just nice to see a real, like, I was like, finally, Disney made an African story. I said finally, because I don't count Lion King as that. I really don't. Lion King is awesome, but I don't count it as an African story.
Yeah. Finally, it's happened to me.
Right in front of my face, and I just cannot hide it. Finally, you come along. The way I feel about you just can't be wrong. If you only knew the way I feel about you, I just can't describe it. Okay, we're done.
No, no.
Okay, we're done. Okay. So my second blurred out is actually an art gallery. Oh. And I actually posted a TikTok about this already on our blurred out TikTok. Our blurred talk TikTok, excuse me. But it was, another thing I found out from the local news. Mm. And it's called Crossroads Art Center. Mm. And it's in Ryko, Staples Mill area.
Okay.
But I went in there just to see what their Black History Month gallery was. But they literally have a ton of local artists. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like a galleries of galleries. Like, there's many galleries in this big space. Mm-hmm. So you can go and check things out. And I was enjoying it. I went and looked at all the art mm-hmm. before I went to watch June 2 to record for this. Mm-hmm. And I was just, I had to pull myself out of there because the art was so beautiful, so inspiring. And then you could just, like, you could buy, like, the postcards mm-hmm. and you can get their card if you wanted something commissioned. Mm-hmm. It was just beautiful, diverse art everywhere. Cool. I mean, I wanted to go back and look through it some more, Whitney. It was so good. I'm so glad to learn about it because I really want to take you and be like, Whitney, let's just go look more of the stuff because it was so cool. Beautiful. So guys, check out our TikTok, the Crossroads Art Center. I recommend if you are an art lover like me, who just loves to look at the beautifulness that I wish I could create, but I can't. I'm not that artsy. I love the art, but I can't paint and stuff like that unless it's like by numbers or like a stencil. I'm not gifted with my hands that way, but I appreciate art so much and artistic expression. And I have a video of my favorite pieces that I saw that day, but just go check that out, everybody. The Crossroads Art Center was beautiful. Whitney, we need to go one day.
Okay.
Just to go and just look. It's fantastic. I didn't even get to see the whole side. I like only went to one side. Because I was just like, I really wanted to catch the fantasy special exhibit before it left. Ooh. And the Black History one before it left, because they were both going to be done by March 3rd.
Aww.
But they have tons of other art galleries, little mini galleries in there. So many artists are in there mm-hmm. showcasing their work. You can buy stuff. It's really nice. All right. And so my last blurred out is about something that's going to lead into my blurred update. And so my last blurred out is about Avatar The Last Airbender.
Ooh.
Live action series.
Okay.
I have been and am still a huge Atlas fan. Like, we call it Atlas, Avatar The Last Airbender. I have always been a fan. I watched even Legend of Korra, even though the ending pissed me off. I still liked Legend of Korra despite the ending. Avatar The Last Airbender. So people would just say Atla or Atlas or something. I don't know. I think I said it wrong. But
Atla.
I think I said Atlas by accident.
Yeah.
We say Atla, but I love that series so much, and I've watched it since from the onset. Mm. I was just enamored with the story, the airbender fire. I love anything with fire, like nature bending and all that kind of stuff. Right.
Wind.
Water. Heart is done.
Yeah, it is. By your power.
What does heart even mean, actually?
I am Captain Blake. He had a crappy power.
Like, he can just talk to animals. Like, that's all he did, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if it's going to be hard. You got to explain it a little bit more. You know what I mean? Anyway.
Communication. But, and that monkey did him no good when he got trapped in that pit.
Right.
He's like,
Johnny
I got
Quest
for
did
you.
Better with the animals. Anyway. But Avatar The Last Airbender, I saw the live action movie that M. Night Shyamalan did, and it was terrible.
Oh, my God.
It just was not good,
and
I felt so bad.
And then the dude from Twilight was in there, and he looked pretty wooden in Twilight. He looked less wooden in
The
Last
Airbender,
but it was
just bad all
great.
Around. And not the only great. Thing, honestly, the only thing that was good was the little person, the guy that played Aang, the little boy that played Aang in it, he was actually good. He was whitewashed. They whitewashed most of those cast, and then he made his people, the Fire Nation, Indian. I'm like, they're not Indian in the story, but it just was like, not a lot of, there was no Asian representation in it. And I was like, there's no Asians in here besides the Indian people. I was like, this is not really, it just didn't work. It wasn't good. I'm sorry, M. Night, but it wasn't good. And so I just was like, leave it alone. Because the series is, the animation is totally fine. But the fact that they made this one, they paid attention, they corrected the wrongs. They made it a series instead of just one film. And it is phenomenal. I absolutely loved it. I am a fan so much of the show, and I was happy to see it done well, done justly. I loved all the kids that they got picked for the roles. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful, Whitney. Okay. Like, I rewatch it like all the time, just because I adore it. And so,
I'm looking forward to it.
Like, are you familiar with the story, Whitney?
Yeah, I've watched Avatar and The Legend of Korra. It's been a while though, so I might want to like refresh myself, but. I mean, I was interested in seeing it, period.
It's good.
But it's been in, like, my... I mean, of course, it's been in my queue. But
I'd bump
the
it
image
up.
That they have of... Which Avatar? The woman.
Aang. Oh, Kyoshi.
Kyoshi. Yeah. They just have an image of her for, like, one of the, like, promotional pictures. And it just makes me want to watch it even more. Because she looks awesome.
Her little scenes in the movie... I mean, the show is... Mm-hmm. I just love it. It's done so well. And I was like, this is how you do the show. This is how you do it.
This is how we do it.
Thank you for paying attention. Like, it's just awesome. I don't care what the haters say. I really don't. Mm. I really don't. I absolutely adore it. And I am so happy about the news I'm going to come up with in my blurred update.
Okay.
But y'all need to watch Avatar The Last Airbender, the live action series. It is good. The casting is great. The anime, the story is great. It pulls you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is different. It's live action, so there's not as much of stuff that you can do in the medium anime. Mm-hmm. Like when it comes to the silly, they have to cut some of the fluff stuff.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's you got to make it more terse. You got to make it more concise.
Right.
But it doesn't leave you wanting. It's mm-hmm. still, it's just really good. I really enjoy it.
Okay.
It has some awesome stuff in it. So please watch it, everybody. Check it out. It's really good.
I definitely intend to. It looks like it's... I mean, just the image of Avatar Kyoshi makes me want to watch it. Like, that alone.
Right. I was just like, I adored it. But, all right. So I'm ready for my nerd update. You ready, Whitney?
Let's go.
Nerd update.
I thought it was a blurred update.
Nerd update. Oh, sorry. Blurred update. Blurred update.
Stay on brand, girl. Stay on
blurred
brand.
Blurred update. Blurred update.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's my song for Blurred Update. Okay. Because we have Blurred Out. Ba-ba-ba. So this one's Blurred Update. There we go.
Okay.
We have to have the in there. All right. So Blurred Update is where we kind of talk about anything nerddom, nerd fan, just some updates for some things happening in the nerddom community. We're going to get real nerdy with it right there. Right. You know what I mean?
Getting nerdy with it.
Blah, all right. Blah, 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 so blah, blah. Speaking of my Avatar The Last Airbender, mm-hmm. Blurred Update is that they have been doing so well on Netflix mm-hmm. that they have been approved for not one, but two more seasons.
Okay.
So we're getting two more seasons of Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yo.
I love it. And maybe they will actually complete the Last Airbender series. Because I think there's four seasons for that, but don't quote me, y'all. I'm not sure. But, and I love the video that they did because Daniel Dae Kim plays Fire Lord Ozai.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because he's voiced other characters in the animation.
Oh.
But he's playing a Fire Lord Ozai mm-hmm. in the actual anime, in the live action.
Is he that hot older dude?
Yes, a Korean. Oh,
okay.
Anyway, he is fine like wine. They call him a zaddy or something else. Oh, there's a new word for him now, but there's new slang that I can't really get into. Just because I can't remember it. But they were talking about how he's like a zaddy and he's hot or whatever. But he actually came on a Zoom call with all the cast mm-hmm. and they were like, he was like faking like he was giving bad news that mm-hmm. they weren't picked up.
Mm-hmm.
But he really sold it because some of them were looking a certain way and he's looking, making the kids look sad. And then he's like, well, I can't say we've been picked up for another season because we've been picked up for two other seasons. And I just thought it was so funny. And they were like, you could see the kids getting sad and stuff. And I was like, nah, don't do this to them. But Netflix approved them for two more seasons. So getting two more seasons that you're going to be seeing more of Aang. And I can't wait. I hope they do them soon. So that, because the little boy's going to grow up a little.
Yeah,
gonna grow up too much.
They're going to have to so, film quickly.
I know, but I'm excited. I'm excited because the show is so good. The first season is so well done. And the graphics, the way they did the bending mm-hmm. in this. Oh, the first sequence is fire. Pulls you in.
Ooh.
Like, so everybody that loves the anime, I'll call it anime. It wasn't made by Japan. I'm gonna call it an anime because it is. It's just not made in Japan, but it is an anime. The style, everything about it is anime.
But there's so many styles in anime.
So why wouldn't you call this one an anime? I feel like it is.
I feel like if it's out of Japan, it's anime. Because we make
stuff. Does it have to be Japan? The style of it is definitely anime. Like, we make a lot of animated here, but they don't look like anime.
Call anything that we make here a manga, though?
We don't make mangas. That's the thing. We make
comic books and graphic novels, but the only time they are mangas is if they're from Japan. So that's kind of my point.
That's right. But the animation, I get what you're saying. So I don't know if you want to call it an anime or not.
I see what you're saying because I'm like, I'm not sure.
Maybe is it because it's in English? But it's inspired by the Asian culture.
It's inspired, but I'm just not sure if we can call it anime or not.
All right. So put in the chat. We'll put a poll up. Y'all, yeah. Is Avatar The Last Airbender, the original series, considered anime or not? Let us know. Yeah. I'm going to post something in our story.
I'm curious.
And y'all, like, debate. Like, I want to hear some replies back.
Right?
All right. So
I'm about to Google that after we're done.
Right? Oh. Would you? I think so. But
sorry. I just snapped my head around to look at my Google Home because I was like, oh crap, I said the
oh yeah thing. All right, so the next thing on is for anybody who likes a con. You saw how I did that there. The next thing on the list is actually, I don't know if you know about this, but this weekend coming up, so even after you guys listen to this episode is going to be coming out on Thursday, but the weekend is going to be GalaxyCon. And I don't know, have you ever been to GalaxyCon?
I've never been.
That's our local Richmond, Virginia RVA con.
Is it the one that's at the library?
No. That's nothing compared to this. This one's the actual con, like at the convention center, where you have just like people, voice actors and different actors coming, and it's a big, big, big con.
Okay.
It's just here in Richmond. And I was like, you know what? I've never been to GalaxyCon. I don't know if we can check it out because it's coming this weekend. It's a little too soon. But
we've got conflicts.
Yeah. So I was like, dang, I would have loved to like check it out this year just to see what
it'll
they
be another
for one
blurred
day.
Outing that we'll let you guys know about why we couldn't.
Just because I was like, we can't be saying we go to Blurred Con, we don't go to the con that's in our own freaking city. You know what I mean? I was like, dang, we ain't go to the con in our own city.
But
at least one time.
Is blurred, you know? It's got a different vibe.
It's got a different vibe, yeah. And I understand. I've actually been like not wanting to go to cons much anymore, too. I just feel like I'm getting too old. But I like to go to learn about what's going on and see what people are producing. Mm-hmm. I really want to just go get some art because I really want some Spy Family art. So I don't know. I just anything I'm feeling, my new things.
I feel now it's been a long time since I've been to any con, like over a decade, that isn't BlurredCon.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like BlurredCon doesn't make you feel like it, you're too old for the con.
You're right. Everybody there is enjoying themselves, no matter what their age is. So
but
you're
I don't
right.
know how what the kind of demographics for other ones were are age wise. I feel like, you know, to go to a con, you got to have some money, so probably you don't get that feeling.
Or you know, you're irresponsible and you just waste all your money in a con, like that one dude I met.
But I'm saying,
you should
like,
not be spoken
you have,
about.
You're like kind of an adult, is what I'm saying.
Right,
to have
right.
the money for. But right. you're right. You could be like a kid just saving up all the nickels and dimes to go to the one con and not having the money for the rest of the year.
Exactly. So, but GalaxyCon is coming up. And so we can't go, but I would love to hear from people who do go. If you're a blurred that goes and you're excited about it, check it out, guys. It's going to be happening in Richmond on March, I believe, 15th to the 17th. Mm. So it's a whole weekend. But yeah, GalaxyCon is coming up. That's why I just wanted to make sure y'all make your ears aware to it.
Cool.
And the second thing is, wait, don't be mad at me, but the third thing actually is a Naruto update. I'm always coming at you because this is like, speaking of live action remakes, so Naruto is like amazing. It's the best anime ever. I don't care. Come at me. Come at me. It's the best anime ever. But Naruto has been cleared to get a live action movie.
Who's making it, Japan or US?
Actually, it's a conjunction, I want to say, because
conjunction, what's my function?
I don't know. Bringing words together. Okay. But because Kishimoto has approved of the person directing it, and based off of this person's previous film, you're going to like it. So I wanted to update and say
film?
Justin Chang has been slated as the director for the Naruto live action, and he directed a little tiny film, Marvel's Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings.
Oh,
yes,
okay,
girl. When
okay.
I saw that he was directing, okay, I was like, oh, heck yeah.
Speaking of, where he at? Where's Shang-Chi at?
Yeah, I wonder where the second Shang-Chi is at too. But
or his
Marvel's
tie-in
redoing
to something else. Like,
Marvel's
what is going
redoing
on?
Stuff.
But you know what? It's also like, I feel like there's some time dilation because it came out, I think, in 2021.
Mm.
And time just feels like it's been longer than it has.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a couple years, though.
It's been a couple years, but when you think about it, like,
But the writer's strike slowed a lot of things down, and then all the stuff going on with Marvel. This could be a mini blurred update, but like, yeah, Marvel's in maybe a reorganization in the new thing.
Avengers movie, because like, yeah, so they're short gonna consume doing, like another Shang-Chi. I would expect, yeah, like, but I'm just like, it just feels longer than, yeah, it's actually.
So
been.
Like, they're not even doing they were gonna do Eternals 2, but they're not even gonna do Eternals anymore. Like, that's one of the things I need to. I'll post the video in the update in the snow
about
notes.
That because I'm like, there were some loose ties that I want to know what's happening.
Yeah, so I think what they're gonna try and do is consume some of the storylines in other films.
Okay, and that makes me feel
but
better.
They're just not gonna do a standalone Eternals film because the Eternals one did not do that great. The impression
better.
People got
okay.
wasn't that great of the film, so they're not gonna do another Eternals.
Okay,
but they do want to bring up. They know they have to bring up the Celestials and what happened. You just have, like, frozen Tiamat just, like, chilling. So, what's going on there?
Right.
Yeah, so they introduced some
then
people.
Blade talking to, what's his name, the Black Knight?
So I don't know if that film's got cut, but they just, again, they're reorganizing stuff because of all the backlash they've been receiving from the last few films. Mm-hmm. Although, I think The Marvels was excellent. I don't care what nobody says.
I thought The Marvels was awesome.
I endured The Marvels, so I'm sorry. I think people were overdoing it, but incels.
So, Exactly. The incels.
The women haters. They want to see us controlling and dominating and being the sole people in the film. Mm. So they made it seem like it was worse than it was when it actually was really good.
Yeah.
But anyway, but I'm just happy that the director, Sean Justin, is going to be doing the Naruto. So I feel like it's in good hands.
Okay.
Kishimoto also likes him. So I'm just like...
I'm
come
wondering what they're gonna do because isn't there like 50 bajillion episodes?
I know, that's what I'm curious because I was like, there's like 500, there's like 200 something of first season Naruto, just the general Naruto.
What? Then 200 there's five, for one season?
Yeah.
Oh my
Naruto's
God.
Been on for like 25 years.
But in one season, 200?
No,
episodes?
I'm sorry, the first part.
Oh.
Yeah, they broke it up into seasons, but I just kind of like. Honestly, I never knew when a season ended, or I just kept watching. So I never knew when a season ended or not. Like, when it comes to the original Naruto, I just kept watching them over the years.
Gotcha.
So I just like, oh, episode 198. Oh, episode 200. Yeah. Keep moving.
Gotcha.
So that was the first Naruto, and then Naruto Shippuden is even longer, but it's like my favorite part because he's grown up. You get more stories, a little bit darker, a little bit cooler. I mean, I say darker, but like, the new animes are a little too dark for me. Like the Attack on Titan, Demon Slayer, Jujutsu Kaisen, it's just a little too demonic for me. But this one is contained. You know what I mean? I don't know about these new ones now, but that's why I haven't really talked about them because I haven't watched them because they scare me. They'd be like, how are you not watching Attack on Titan? How are you not watching Demon Slayer? I was like, demons.
You
that's why I can't.
Give,
I can't do it.
What's
I love Jesus. Okay.
The My Hero Academia try.
I'm going to try
not,
it again.
That's not like
that's
a
what I do with Spy
one.
Kids, Spy Family.
And it's cool. I think you would like it. If you
that's what
it.
I did with Spy Family. Yeah. But I'm excited about that. Naruto. Woo-woo. If only y'all could bring the Boruto anime back. With his son, I'm like, y'all just left us hanging. I'm like, come on, bring the anime back. Anyway, and my last blurred update is a kind of sad one, which actually is inspired by, which I would say a lot of the main big animes that people watch, One Piece, Naruto,
oh,
everything.
I know what you're about to say.
It's the death of Akira Toriyama, who is the creator of Dragon Ball Z.
That
and
was
so,
pretty much a,
that was,
that
really
was
sad.
A vast majority of people's gateway drug into anime.
Right. Because honestly, you watch the anime. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't like stay on with Dragon Ball Z. It was my favorite.
Yeah,
once Sailor Moon came on, I left that shit.
Yeah, Sailor Moon, like, Sailor Moon was fire. Like, Sailor Moon had more story. And Dragon Ball Z had just a lot of extended, like, 30 episodes of powering up. But like Dragon Ball, as I understand it, which I've never really watched Dragon Ball, but
me
Dragon
too.
Ball had more story, as I understand it, whereas
I
Dragon
guess.
Ball Z is more like just fighting and
yeah,
powering
I,
up.
I watched some episodes, but I was like, I can't really say that I know. I know Goku and Kida and that white thing with the tail, and I was just like, I just don't really know what this is about. And then once Sailor Moon came on, I was done. I was on my girly. I was like, I'm
by
going to this.
Evil,
so Sailor Moon was my gateway into anime. I loved it, and then Naruto daylight. Came along, and I was done.
Never run.
I was sold.
From a real fight. She is the one named Sailor Moon.
And then,
see?
And then,
and that's
all
how
of,
they got you with these theme songs.
And then all
in.
Of, what's his name?
Digimon?
All of Hayao Miyazaki, Digimon as well. Mm. Hayao Miyazaki. All those were my gateway into anime and Japanese culture and stuff. So,
I'm
but
putting,
to Akira Toriyama, we just have to say R.I.P. because you kind of started off everybody's. You inspired all the greats. You
yeah,
know?
You were just big, dude. You like did it for so many
yeah,
people.
So that's
thank
a big
you.
One for the anime
thank
world.
Thank you for
but
your
anyway,
contributions.
And that's been.
R.I.P.
Blurred update.
Ugh. Speaking of, I just want to go back and like rewatch like Your Name, because the right. disaster series, like I think that all that one stuff. Was probably my favorite. But right. I was just like Suzume, great.
Yeah, and I like Suzume the one was really with good, the rain.
But I think Your Name is like my favorite. I think.
Did you watch the one where it was like a rainstorm?
Yeah, I the watched all three. Kids?
You watched all three?
Yeah.
I don't know. If it's. I don't think it's called Your Name.
No, not the one of them
where they were
name.
In different time periods and yes. they kept switching bodies.
Yes, I think that one is
that
Your
is
Name.
Your Name, but I like the other one more, actually. I forget what that one's called.
I can't remember what it's called either, but I like Your Name the best. I don't know, something about it, I just was like, ah, oh, this is just awesome and just brilliant. But it just makes me want to go back and, I don't know, just rewatch it, because I was like, this
Your
is
Name
really
was
great.
Good. Your Name was very great. Good. Yeah, Makoto Shinkai.
Weathering With You is
yes,
the one I think
that's
you're talking
the one
about.
I really like that one. Mm. I liked that one a lot. But Suzume was good too.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get into the
Okay,
let's get into the review. So now we are reviewing Dune 2.
Part 2,
yes.
Dune Machale.
Oh my God, Whitney, chill. Eileen, I love my Indian music.
Stop saying Dune 2 then.
It's Dune. I can't help it if it sounds the same. I'm saying
it's
an N.
Dune
I'm saying an N.
Two.
I'm enunciating
Dune
an N.
Part 2. It's not
Dune 2.
If you say Dune 2, then I'm going to be Dune Machale.
I can't. I don't even know why you're associating the two. I don't.
Because it sounds
that's not
like
my problem.
Dune 2.
That's not my problem. Okay. So. All right. So Dune Part 2. Happy now? Are you happy now? Yay, yay. Okay, that was Michelle Branch. Anyway, that song. Can you look me in the eye? Tell me that you're happy now.
I'm not as familiar with that one.
All right, anyway, we're just gonna pass, y'all. But okay. Anyway, okay. Dune 2, y'all. Dune Part 2.
Yeah, girl, because she was about to
girl,
get another one.
Guys, Blurds. This movie was an epic, but you know
epic.
What, Whitney?
It's like Odyssey epic.
Yes, but I'm gonna tell you this right now. I saw it in IMAX because mm-hmm. friends wanted me to go. Friends did this because I don't pay for the IMAX tickets. And I felt like I just paid for the volume. And I'm not going to lie to you, I'm not doing IMAX movies again. I'm just not, because...
Maybe they needed to adjust it. What was that movie that we saw where it was too loud?
We went to see a movie in the movie theater and it was super loud. And I don't know. I don't
and
remember what
it was. And at some point,
was.
I think they adjusted it. But at first, it was just like, this
yeah,
is
Yeah, the
ridiculous.
Volume was too loud. But IMAX is made to have enhanced sound quality. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to lie to you, it did add to the epicness and mm-hmm. the feel. And I think the screen is slightly curved as well, which I don't really get what that does.
I think but, to make it more immersive.
Yeah, I guess. But it's like, meh. That part was meh. But I saw it in IMAX in Short Pump with friends. Mm-hmm. And they wanted me to come with them and watch it on mm-hmm. Sunday. So I went with them and I was like, fine, y'all give me a ticket and I'll pay y'all back, because I was like, I ain't trying to pay that money. I was like, I'm fine with my $11 matinee or my whatever is somewhere closer. Mm. But they wanted to listen to it in IMAX and I was like, fine, let's go. But I'm going to tell you right now, guys, the IMAX is not for my ears. I'm 30 something years old now. I need my ears. I had a huge headache by the end of the film. Like it took a while for it to go away. Oof. Because the sound was, I mean, I was sitting next to one of our friends, mm-hmm. and I was jumping. Every time it was like a crash, literally jumped because it was so loud. It was so, you know, impacting.
I probably wouldn't have been able to understand as well, because if something's too loud, it gets into distortion for me, and I can't understand as well.
I don't think it was more of the sound effects that were too loud. So it was all the sound. The speaking parts weren't too loud.
Okay.
But it was all the sound, the music, everything. So they made it so large and loud so that you could feel more immersed. And I'm not gonna lie, it did add this epic feel. Mm-hmm. The whole time I was concentrating when I was watching this film. Mm-hmm. I was like, I want to be on the sand dune. I want, like, the scene where they were like riding the worm, where he was riding the worm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Looking so victorious, you could hear the sound of the sand like so clear. It really felt like it did add that immersiveness experience that you kind of want to get. So I get why people do the IMAX, but it's just like, for me, it was at certain points it was too much. So by the end of the film, I got a headache, and I enjoyed it, but I don't think I would do IMAX again. I don't think I would.
Yeah,
but it's not for me.
I don't know. I'm just not a person who feels a need for IMAX. If it was like, I don't even know if I would see a 3D. I don't think I've ever seen a 3D movie. I could understand a case for seeing something in 3D. But if it's just because I have a bigger screen that wraps around a little bit, I'm like, I don't think I want to pay extra for that.
Right, right. But you guys, my first impression. I absolutely loved the film. Absolutely loved it. I was immersed from the beginning. And I don't do what Whitney does. I don't rewatch stuff even though the time period between the two, it was not that long. Mm-hmm. I don't rewatch stuff to watch the other one if I like know the general story. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to lie to you. I was like, I know that I forgot stuff. Mm. And I was like, damn, my brain is not connecting. But because I was like, I'm pretty okay with this world, but all the words and the different people, I was like, oh, mm-hmm. crap. What's Arrakis again? Oh, the place was Spice. What is Spice again? And I was like, as I was watching, I had to really like, oh, recall those things just because I wasn't so immersed in the world. Mm-hmm. But I remember loving it and knowing and understanding when I first watched it. But it was just a catch-up game that I was playing while I was watching. Because I was like, oh, I was like, the Harkonnens are this, and then the Bene Gesserits, they are this, and then they're trying to come up with the, what's the power?
Kwisatz Haderach?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, Lord, what was, I could not remember what that was. It was basically the male version of them. And I was like, oh, that's what it was. But friends told me at the end of the movie. I was like, oh, okay, that was what it was.
I don't think it's just the male version, because I think it's rare for them to have a male version, so it's almost it's like the only Messiah.
One. Yeah, and I was like, why does he have to be the male version? But I saw the themes that people were talking about, like the religious mm-hmm. aspects, and you could see some kind of allegorical, I wouldn't say allegorical, actually, because it looks more like a criticism of religions, because you could tell Shawnee's character just got the raw end of the deal, man.
Right?
Raw end of the deal. Like, ooh.
I was like, on one hand, I was kind of like, bitch ass.
He deserved that slap. That slap was loud in IMAX, yo. That thing, I was like, she slapped you into next Tuesday, right? My nigga.
But on the other side, I was like, I understand politically why, but that's, man.
And then she forced her to use her tears on, I was like, I felt so bad for Shawnee because it was like, you just ruined it for her. I was just mad, like, oof. And then, you know, she does the thing girls do all day. Like, they're like, I'm not staying for this bullshit. I'm out. And then she was like, I'm catching a ride. And I remember thinking, I was honestly catching a ride on a worm, a large-ass worm. That's really cool. I would love to be like, I'm going to catch the next worm. I would love it. Like, to be honest with you, when I finally saw how they did it, it's dangerous. But I was like, that's super cool because she's like stormed off. Real girl-like. Real girl power-like. I loved it, actually. I really liked it. But I was like, where's she going to go? Because they like... they like really destroyed most of the people in the northern region of Arrakis. So I was like,
she gonna go to the south, girl.
No, they were in the south. That's where everybody was. That's where more of the people are actually in the south. No,
I think they said that the south is the part where they couldn't get to because there was all this.
But they ended up going there. That was the thing.
Yeah, but like,
remember, he had to go south, and he wasn't trying to because he knew all the stuff that happened.
Paul and them did, but not like the enemies, though.
All of them were in the south. That whole scene where they were fighting, the end scene, happened in the south.
I think it was probably closer to like maybe the equator. I don't think they were in the south for that battle.
I think because it was hard for them. Because they found the whole army. They met up with the whole army. Like, everybody was in the south. They just went through the storms.
No, I don't think so, because like...
they went through the storms because the worms could get through.
Yes, the worms went through the storms. But the worms went through the storms to get back to the north to where the enemies were.
But they weren't in the north, I don't think. They weren't in the north.
They weren't like in the capital, but they weren't like far north. I think they were probably closer to like the border.
I don't know about that, Whitney, because it made it sound like, because he kept saying, I can't go south. I can't go south. But right. He ended up going south. All of them did. There was like three worms, four
and
worms for everybody.
And that's where he did like his training and like it took
that's
the
That's where the fighting
the
everything happened.
But no, the fighting didn't happen there because they couldn't even like get to the south, like the Empire or whatnot. So they like came back through the storms to get up north when they fought.
All right. Well, this is a point of contention. I have to like probably ask somebody. Because I thought they were in the south the whole time. Because I was like, where did all those people come from? All those people were in the south.
Yes, they were in the south. But they didn't stay there for the battle. Like, they brought their army
to the north. So how did they come up if they didn't come through the storms? Like, I just thought that they had a way to get through it.
No, yeah, they did. The people in the south, because there were a lot more Fremen in the south.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, they attacked the Fremen who were in the north. That's why Paul, like, sent...
that's why a lot of them had to leave.
...sent them to the south. Right. Because they knew they would be safer in the south. Because then the enemy couldn't get through the sandstorms and stuff. And they hadn't really explored the south. So when they came... so for the final battle, they would have had to come back up north, like not all the way north to where the city was, but like through the sandstorms.
Well, okay, we're gonna go on live offline and discuss this that part, because I think they were in the south, but I didn't hear about the equator or anything.
I mean, I don't know, I know it was the equator, but like, you know, where the sand, the whatever line divided it,
right? Because I know there was an issue about getting through this. Anyway, let's continue with the review. But first of all, the music for this, and I already know Hans Zimmer's music anywhere, like anytime I hear anything and I'm like, this is produced by Hans Zimmer, because his music has such dynamic sounds, loud horns, so interesting. Or that woman that sing. I love it. I was like, I adore it. I love the soundtrack. The sound effects for this was great too, even though it was too hyped for my ears. Just gave me a headache, but in IMAX. But I adored the music, the sounding for all. I love that you could hear the sand. You felt like you were there. Yeah. So I get why people watch it in IMAX. And to be honest with you, do you know, Whitney? This film made $1 billion in just the first weekend.
Damn.
And IMAX sales were the main sales that made that money for them.
Oh, wow.
They made their money back quickly. Dang. Like lightning. You know what I mean?
But
I
was like, I'm not surprised because it was fire.
I mean, oh my God, the film
and
was
epic.
What about
I was
you, Whitney?
Looking forward to it so much, and it did not disappoint, because I rewatched it the morning before I watched it with my mom that afternoon. And because I wanted to refresh, because it's like, it's been a while. And I'm like, I don't remember all the names of these people. I remember it's something Hatteras. I think it's Kizak Hatteras. But I was like, oh, the Kizak Hatteras. Because there's so many terms, like these
there
terms
is,
in
yeah.
here.
It's such a thing.
The Bene Gesserit, like all this stuff. So I rewatched it and felt better prepared, because they really did pick up like right. It's not like they had like a time period. Because, you know, a lot of the sequels, it'll be like months later or something. It was like it was a few days after the ending of part one.
Right, yeah. So for us, it seemed longer, but it was just like, oh, the next day.
Because I thought it was a different body they were carrying, but it was, what's his name?
Jamis.
Jamis. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, they really did pick up like a day or two later.
That's why it's important to note that it was part two and not just two. Because it wasn't a huge time gap. It was like, oh, we still picking up where we left off. A lot happened in this film too. There was a lot of slowness, but there was a lot of action as well. Like there was
I feel like there was slow
in a bad way. It was like some steady beats.
Okay.
Let's say that, some steady beats. So not slowness, because slowness has like a connotation of something negative. And I'm not trying to say that. There was some like steady beats where you just like, you know, pacing. But I felt like this one had a lot of action. This one had a lot of storytelling, world building. They were building on the first one, and they were building even more.
Yeah.
So you were getting into the messy politics, the diplomatic stuff. It was very interesting. I remember like thinking, I liked the part where they like cut to just like the Harkonnen world.
Oh, yeah.
And how big this arena looked, how gray and black and just like abysmal the place
was.
I like
the cinematography,
but it was beautifully done.
Choice they made, because they like went fully black and white for
it. Yeah, so I heard an interview from Colbert for Denis Villeneuve, and he said that they use an infrared camera to shoot that so that they could get that done that way with all that lack of color and make them look so pale white and everything. And I mean, I have to give it to Austin Butler. Him playing Fade, he faded that fade, okay? Like, he was awesome.
He was great.
He wasn't even in the film for long, but just the role he did, I was just like, man, you're crazy.
Yeah.
But he did good.
He was like, very impactful. He did great with that character.
All I have to say is my boy, Timothée Chalamet, he's such a leading man. Like,
he is great.
He's a little skinny, so I love him. Like, I will watch anything he's in. Like, I adore.
He really is
great. He's such a good. He carried this film a lot. Like, all the other people did well too, but you could just see the struggle on his face. He was like, I have to know what I'm gonna. I know what I need to do.
He's like, I don't want to. He was like,
he don't
want to
take over. He don't want to be like these people's savior and stuff, but he realized things were set up for him to take this role, and he's like, I gotta do it now. Once he drank the juice, he just was like, I have to do it now. If you're going back to the old one, Whitney, I actually love how they did the issue with his sister. Because at first we were like, if you watch the old one from the 80s, he was just like this little child running around. It was really weird. And she was talking to everybody. And I was just like, why is this little girl here? Like, I don't even think I understood the second half of the film, to be honest with you, for the one from the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
So I love the way they did it here, where the girl was just talking to the mom and the brother, and she knew stuff. And they used kind of, what's her name? Anna something Joy.
Anya
Anya, yeah, Anya Taylor Joy. Taylor Joy, to show that that was his sister, mm-hmm. explaining to him all the stuff and how the family, the family dynamics was crazy.
What? Yeah.
I just love it where he was like, bye, grandpa, stab, stab. And I was like, yes, let all of the Harkonnens get their comeuppance.
It made me think of almost like Star Wars and like Jedi Order.
Because this was inspired.
They always separate them from like their
he
family.
He said he was inspired by Star Wars.
How did you not know that that's your father?
Like, the author was inspired by Star Wars, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. interesting. But yeah, I just thought it was interesting because it's like, she didn't know. It's like, so do they, when you become a Bene Gesserit, do they just completely separate you from your family? Well, no, because the emperor's daughter was not separated, but that's because
she had to play the role of the daughter. But someone like her, they would just want like, okay,
they
we're just going
to
keep
power.
You.
They so need she, that keep that, that chess right. piece.
She probably just stayed with the women and they just raised her up. So she probably maybe didn't know who her parents were.
We know she didn't know. But that was just my thing. I was like, do they do that with all? Is that like kind of the normal thing? Like like with the Jedi, it's they weird. Separate them from their parents to like train them? Because it seemed like, I mean, with Lady Jessica, she didn't know that Baron Harkonnen was her father.
Mm-hmm.
But like the Emperor's daughter, she's apparently a Bene Gesserit, but they didn't like separate her. But it's like, that's that they... The Bene Gesserit are really about having these powers. Well,
let's talk about that, Whitney, because I remember saying that. I was like, so who's the real villain here? This one thing I couldn't figure out in this film. I mean, yeah, the Harkonnens are terrible and I wanted them to get their comeuppance, but they are not the main villains of this. And I really looked at the Bene Gesserit like they're pulling these manipulative strings. And
yeah.
I'm sorry, some of it seems malicious. You know what I mean? It's very deceptive. It's very sneaky. They just, all of this is just to acquire some power and make some, I'm like, what are y'all doing?
I would use the word malicious, but they are very manipulative because I think they have an end they're trying to get to and they don't.
I think that's malicious though.
I don't know.
Because they're like, they're doing it at the expense of everyone else. Like they don't really care.
Okay,
like,
even, yeah, that's true. I would say they don't care.
Exactly.
What has to be, who has to be sacrificed to
exactly,
get to.
Exactly. Because they were like, okay, if it's not going to be Paul, then we'll just use Fade. I was like, so Fade is like one of your options? I was like, that guy's crazy. They're like, we don't care. We can manage crazy. And I was like, y'all are not thinking. Like, no. You know what I mean? And so even
I think they were thinking though.
Oh, man.
For
yeah,
them, it was this thing that's like, we can control crazy. It's like, for
that's
them, that, I think that was a part of the problem with them for, I mean, no, that not probably. That
yeah,
was the
was
problem.
Like no conscience. No conscience.
That was their problem with the, Atreides. They're like, we can't control him. They're getting out of hand. They're
right,
getting a little too bigger for the riches. Which is why they're like, we need to wipe him out. We can't control him anymore. So let me whisper in the Emperor's ear and be like, yeah, why don't you go ahead and wipe out that whole family line.
Right. And that was terrible. Atreides, I mean, it was
yeah,
so
yeah,
because
we're like, when you said like, the Harkonnens aren't necessarily, I mean, they don't seem like they were ever that good.
They weren't.
So an antagonist, but not main villain, I see what you're saying. And then you look at like the Emperor and it's like, oh, he ordered it. But then it's like, oh, he loved him like a son. I was like, oh, so you just going to go out there and like kill
your son?
That's
what I'm saying. I'm sorry. I didn't care for him.
But the Bene Gesserit mother was like the one who was like, oh, yeah, you need to wipe them out. And I'm like, damn.
Right. And I was just looking at the manipulativeness of everything. They had another Bene Gesserit get with him and like
with Fade.
With Fade and be like, just in case we got another kid, just in case this stuff doesn't, you know,
just placing pet chess pieces
all
the time.
And like,
that's one thing that like, because Paul was like going off from part one to part two because he just was not for all this maneuvering. He was like, you've manipulated these people on Dune into like this stuff. You've placed me as like a messiah, but you put it in their heads.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they didn't come to it on their own. You like planted.
Right. That part where he had to start, when he was yelling at his mom, I was like, I get you. I get why you're yelling at her because it's not correct what's going on.
Mm.
And he was like, this is not, I forgot the word he used. I don't think he said loyalty or joy or something. I don't know what it was, but he said, this is not something. And I was like, yeah, use the force. You know what I mean? Because, and I didn't realize that's what was happening. It was like, he was having the same kind of.
The voice
thing. Mm. And I was like, oh, that's what it was. That's just me not recognizing some of the, I should have rewatched, like you said. I should have. So I actually, now I'm like, yeah, I get, if, for something like this, you need to pay attention.
Mm.
That's one thing I got with this film. But this film makes you pay attention.
Mm.
Another thing I loved was the, like, that they made the Fremen language just for this. And the Harkonnen language as well. There was a Harkonnen language. I love that they made a whole new language just for this. Mm. It sounds Arabic inspired.
Oh, okay. Just for which one? Some the Fremen or Fremen, the Harkonnen? The Fremen one.
Okay. It sounds Arabic inspired, but I like that they did that. I like that everyone got so into their roles. They were all different people. Mm-hmm. They got sucked into it. I was sucked into it too, and I really was like, I should have known. Not knowing, I didn't read the books. I didn't Google. I didn't Wikipedia. I should have known something was coming to ruin Shani and Paul. Like, I was really hoping not, but I should have known something was coming.
I was really hoping because I can't remember exactly what happened in the 80s one.
Mm-hmm. Me too. For some reason, the whole second half didn't make sense.
I thought they were still together.
Yeah, that's what it's. I could have changed it.
Him like asking the emperor's daughter to marry him.
Me too. So I was like, where did this come from? So I'm like, oh, this must be something that they changed for the movie. And did not, you know, do in the books.
Or did they change it for the 80s movie? But
that's
not
what I mean.
Okay.
That they just wanted to,
I don't
like,
know which one stuck closer to the books, the 80s one or this
that's
one?
What I'm saying. I felt like the 80s one, they might have changed it because they're like, oh, no, he's with Shani. They have to have a strong love story. I just think that they would say that back in the
80s. That's true.
So
that
they would
want to
keep it.
That
like, makes
sense.
Just,
they're not going to want to get that,
all that stuff
quite as complicated with
right,
that type of
right,
dynamic.
Right, that's what I think.
But that was messed. I was like, damn, because like his sister was like, you cannot just like get with her. You have to have your hand available for somebody
else. All I know is that ending scene where he was fighting, and then the way he did such a good job portraying that tension of knowing that he's going to betray the words he said to her. And
he
then her face
it,
went.
Though. He said, I just know I will always love you.
He's not going to follow her in the desert or nothing. Like, they're done.
I mean, they might be done, but that doesn't mean he won't always love her. But I guess. Might be like, my responsibilities have to overshadow what I actually want. Because he doesn't want to be a messiah.
Yeah, but I
like. But he feels like he
ascension.
Has to lead these people in order to, I guess, hope to try to come out with the best outcome is what I feel like. Because right. He didn't want any of this.
He didn't. And I loved his struggle throughout this whole thing. I also loved his ascension. Like, I loved watching him get better at the fighting, get better at the worm taming.
That was cool.
The language.
Speaking
everything.
Of the worm taming, I was upset.
Because
in the 80s movie, they make it look like Paul is the first one to ride a worm, and then they learn from him.
Yeah.
In this movie, they knew how to ride worms. So I'm like, if y'all know how to ride worms, why ain't y'all ride these worms and swallow up and like just like kick all their asses with these worms? Like, y'all had a very powerful weapon and did not use them.
Right.
Like, what the heck?
I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe because it's a risk as well. With the worms for them, even though they know how to ride them, maybe it is a risk for them as well. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't have the answers to that.
Mm-hmm.
We have to pose that to our friend Alan, who read the books, actually.
Oh,
so,
okay. Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. He told me that there was more books.
I've heard that there's like, what,
there's
four
like
or
seven.
Five? Oh, okay, seven. Okay,
apparently.
Wow.
But they're not all about Paul. Like,
yeah,
the rest
I heard
are about his
like
children.
Children of Dune and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, and then I heard that they weren't like that great. Like, like as they went on, they weren't that great.
Okay.
And that I definitely think that this film needs a third, but I think they can stop there. So if he decides just to do the Messiah book in one film, I think, and do a trilogy, the Dune trilogy, that'll be fire.
I like, as soon as the credits started rolling, I was Googling on my phone, like,
is there
a Dune part 3?
Because
and
I
read that
them.
He wants to do a trilogy, and he's actually almost done with the script.
Mm-hmm.
But he also said, you know, it'll be dependent on if this movie does well again. And of course, with it making $1 billion already, it's
done
well
enough. One weekend, girl, just the first opening weekend.
It's going to get a third movie. But he also said he wanted to take a bit of a break before he does the third one, though.
Which I don't understand.
Yeah.
I totally understand. Do something else. Because these kind of projects, especially something like this, you get obsessive. You just need to say, he's already seen the film like 100 times in the editing process and all that kind of stuff. So I get that he just needs to take a break and
sense.
Then revisit.
I'm cool with that. As long as he gives us a great product, go ahead and take your break, Denis.
Right, because both of these films
were
excellent.
Fantastic.
The cinematography, the acting, the
epicness
the
and epicness scale of it.
Yes, the scale.
Yeah.
Like, these scenes, and it was breathtaking.
Mm.
Like, that Harkonnen scene where you see the whole, I was like, damn.
Right? And
or
that was just brilliant.
The desert scenes are so breathtakingly beautiful. I just want to lick the sand. I don't know what it is. I love a desert.
Lick no sand. But.
I don't know. I'm not going to lick the sand. But the smoothness of sand. And people just like, it just looks like, I just want to touch it all the time. Like something about sand texture, and especially when like a dune like that actually looks like, oh God, I don't know why. I like it so much. But I this film was epic. I really give this film a lot because I don't have any negatives. Like, that was the thing. I was looking and I'm like, I don't have any critiques or negatives. I don't.
We haven't gotten to the rating part. I'm not going to give it quite a 10.
Why?
I don't know. It's getting above a 9, but I'm not. I don't know. Yeah, I might need to watch it again. But right now, I feel like I'm not sure if I want to give it a 10 right now.
Okay.
But like, I wanted to get into like, it was interesting to me because Chani presented a nice kind of foil of perspective.
Right.
Because all these people were like falling, like drinking the Kool-Aid.
Right.
About like the Messiah. And she's like, no, he's not the Messiah. Even though she was in love with him, he's like, no, he's not the Messiah. And it's like also interesting because it was a whole like white savior type of thing too.
Right.
And Chani's like, no.
Exactly.
But I also like, because it would make it kind of like, but the fact that he didn't want it makes it more palatable because Paul's like, I don't even want this. And I think it's wrong that you guys did this.
Right. But it's like what's fallen in his lap now.
Yeah.
That's why I like it because it also makes you like, it definitely, this has a lot of like religious comparisons and parallelisms because you can see like the false prophets and this, or like you also look at, you know, people, I feel like it's a criticism toward the pull of religion as well because I didn't even understand this until we watched the film that, oh, the Fremen have their own dynamics. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, these people are super pious and believe this stuff in the South, but the Northern ones are like, no, we're more free, more equal, more like we're just about taking care of and freeing our people and leaving the spice alone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
I liked those dynamics that I play in the film. Javier Bardem, his character was just so interesting because he just kept fueling the fire, kept fueling the fire. The funniest part in this film to me was when our girl Shani Zendaya was just like, everybody was praying and she was like, this is some BS, you know? And then the guy just, and then Josh Brolin's character just pulled her down. He's like, this is not the time. And I was like, did anybody see that?
Because
like,
Gurney Halleck. Yeah, because you just see her get snatched. I'm like, who's
she's
like,
this
her?
Is all wrong. And they just please yank her down. This is not the time, little one. Not the time. I could not.
That was hilarious.
Nobody was laughing really, but I was like, this
reminds
was really funny.
You of like in church. If you acted up in church and your parent just snatched you, like, you ain't going to embarrass me in church.
The snap. Oh, man. She got silenced, yo. Right? She got silenced. Allow it. You know what I mean?
It's funny. My brother sent us this Facebook. He just be finding all these, like, funny Facebook reels. And there's this one of this little black boy, and he's in church, and he is not wilded out, but he keeps making all this noise, and then and the camera's close up on his face, and then you just see a hand come and just slap him up in the face, and the look on his face. I'm like, damn.
That's exactly what needs to happen, though. Right? That is exactly what should happen. Everything like, that happened
was
correct.
That's how. I mean, I don't know.
Respect the
getting
authority.
Closer to the door, but like, if you south, yeah, you gonna get popped, and you gonna be acting up in church.
Man, I saw like I don't know what was worse, the slap she gave him or that pull down yank. That was like those are my two favorite parts. Also, all the parts where all the Harkonnen got what they deserved. Every one of them got shanked, and I loved it because Fade was crazy.
He was crazy.
Oh Lord, but he did
But he was also had like they say he has his own kind of code of honor that was interesting.
He was like, I'm gonna fight them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But because crazy, but at the same time, he's like, you know, I have a certain amount of.
He was the smarter one, unfortunately. Or his brother was just dumb. I was just like, he was just, they're all crazy. They're all disgusting. Because I was like, how are you like, these are your people, but they're just so expendable to you. I just think, I don't know how you guys survive.
And the way, like.
On that, when you could just so easily kill your servants.
I was not clear. I mean, he looks like he's younger.
I feel like he's the younger one. He just.
But he just like, the way he treated his brother, he was like, ka, 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 ka. He's like, you're not going to embarrass us.
Yes. I was like, Baron, where are your children? Like, that's one thing I was like,
well,
I was like,
where
so
one
why
of them is.
Yeah, one of them was just chilling.
Lady Jessica, who nobody knew. I don't think he knew. Well, yeah, he didn't. I don't think he knew either.
No, he didn't. Or he did, but he just didn't know she would be raised to be that. Or like he, I think. Or maybe they showed a picture where he saw her, but then they probably just took her away. You know?
Because it could be similar to like what they did with Fade. Like they just send some random person to sleep with them to purposely get pregnant or something. So Bene Gesserit probably sent somebody.
Exactly. So if that's another girl, she's not gonna know that Fade Rother was her father. She's not gonna know.
Right.
So it's crazy. The Bene Gesserit are something else.
Like, I agree. They really seem to be kind of like the villains.
But I mean,
but I don't know. It's kind of hard to know because it's like they have a goal and they're ruthless. Right. And I don't know if they're ruthless or if they're kind of like almost kind of what I might describe as almost evil.
Right.
It doesn't seem like evil, but it seems like just ruthless and getting whatever they want and they'll just sacrifice anyone. But I'm like, what is their goal? Because it seems to be power.
Right.
Like they're just determined to get and retain power and control. Yeah. And they'll do anything. I love that ring. And they'll do anything to get and keep it, which is why they like was not cool with the whole Paul thing. And like the Atreides thing, they're like, they're out of control. Kill them all.
Right. Right. I'm like, I mean, dang. And honestly, let's look at Jessica, because Jessica was. I don't know if this was a power grab for her. It looked like she wanted to like one up the other Reverend Mother. Mm-hmm. That's what it looked like to me. But Jessica was on her own little power trip as well. And I was like, I don't know. It's because she had the juice in her and she survived it and she was alive. But Jessica seemed like she was like pushing for him to be this thing.
She was pushing.
And I'm like, is it just a mother wanting ambition for her son or
in
what?
In part one, she was like, I know when the Reverend Mother was like reprimanding her, she was like, and you had to go and have a boy. She was like, because you thought that you could have the Kwisak Haderach. So it was like, she thought it was like an ego thing. So maybe it was like, maybe she thought that she could like, you know, bring into the world the Kwisatz Haderach.
I mean, people can't control that though. So
I think they can.
The Bene Gesserit can.
Yeah, because she said, because she made it seem like she chose to have a boy. Mm. And you know, if they're having all these girls, at some point you should have a boy unless they have some control over it.
Right. That's interesting. I mean, see, I'm not going to lie to you. This movie makes you want to read the books just so you could get into like the real behind the scenes, like really
the
dive
lore
into
and stuff. Yeah.
Just get into the mind of like, because I was like, what's happening here? I really like the power play, the houses, this craziness, and then the Fremen and the freedom and what they represent. And then this religious figure that he's become. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. The Emperor's daughter, ooh, I love Florence Pugh. She's so good at
that's
just playing
an
understated character.
That's one thing I also wanted to touch on. She was awesome. Yes. And the costume design, that thing
yes.
with like the metal thing that came down.
The outfits were amazing.
That was so cool.
But what I liked was that you could tell she was smart and she realized what was going on. She was more of a diplomat, more of a diplomat or... Is that the word I'm looking for?
I don't know,
politician. She was more of a politician than her father was because she understood things. And she was like, no, Dad, you don't underestimate faith. And that was before they knew who Paul was. Mm. They didn't know Paul was alive. They didn't know Paul was the Madib.
Yeah.
Madib. And I was just like, man, she called that one. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it was like, she had her, like, and the funny thing is, it was like, she was reacting. She's highly intelligent. Mm-hmm. But she also was like, I felt like she was very reactory. As in, not reactory, but she was receiving everything. And her reactions were just like, okay, this is what's happening now. Hmm. She didn't overshow her hand. She didn't go off the handles or anything. She was taking everything in. She had some minor reactions to certain things because she's like, really, that's what y'all doing? Mm-hmm. All right, but at least I know now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So at first, it was like she was definitely playing the politician role. That she knew what was going on. And in fact, she even helped her dad because her dad, I was like, the way he came at him about his dad, I was like, I literally thought Christopher Walken's character, you're going to lose your head. Because it's like, Paul has every reason to come at you and cut your head off right now. Mm. No reason to save or spare your life at all. Mm-hmm. No reason. But she came at him and said this. And I was like, okay, she know what she's doing. This girl is smart. She saved her asses too because it was
smart
getting handed to
her. Like, very strategic.
Yes, very strategic. And that kind of mind is very brilliant.
But not in the same way as like
at the
Bene
Gesserit. No,
because
she's not manipulative.
Like, right.
She was just like, let's get a good outcome for ourselves. Survival is what we need to do, but also connections. You know, like I liked her character, very understated. I'm not going to lie to you, even though she's like taking over Shani's position, I like her.
That's not her fault, though.
That's not her fault. But I like her.
Yeah,
I like her.
I like her too.
I like that she recognized that, oh, they are in love. And that what's happening now is really, it's almost like she understood, but she was like, there's nothing that can be done. She knew there's nothing that can be done. Mm-hmm. But it was like, it seemed like at least she was slightly felt bad for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That she's like, damn, I'm getting in the middle of this, mm-hmm. but nothing can be done, you know? Right. He said it with his own words, I will take your daughter from my hand. I was like, what? I was reacting in the theater.
Like, I was mad, but at the same time, I'm like, I understand. Because his sister told him, she was like, you need to have your hand for this.
Plus, if he's going to take over, he's going to need the Empire's people. He's like, well, yeah, I'm in control now.
It's one of those things. You can't just like, it makes it harder. It was such a political move. Change if there's nobody left. But if you're marrying the daughter of the old regime, mm-hmm. it makes it a little bit easier.
But I don't know. I think the holy war is starting because they did say at the end of the film that they did not recognize or accept Paul's ascension as emperor. So it's like a big ass fight's about to start.
That's true.
And I'm here for it. But I feel
like even if he hadn't done that, it would have just been that much worse.
Yeah.
Because then he would have like no support. He's like, at least like whoever the empire still has some sway over, they can probably sway them to be like, okay, look. Even if it was they twisted their arms, this is the deal we made, so y'all gonna fight with us.
I mean, I'm telling you, like, we could talk about this forever. Like, we were making such jokes in the theater afterwards that I was like, when one of our friends said, oh, there's like 7 books of it, I was like, whoa, are you serious? Because I was like, talk about secured employment. You know what I mean? Because I was like, yo, Timothy would be 50 years old doing Dune 6, Dune 8. I will watch. Like, I'm so into this. And I'm not even that into sci-fi as much as Whitney is. I don't dislike it. I just say I'm not as into sci-fi as I like fantasy. I'm not as into sci-fi.
See, book genre-wise, my favorite book genre is fantasy sci-fi, but I am on the fantasy side. I don't know if I've ever read a sci-fi book.
I haven't read a sci-fi book. I don't think I have either.
But then on the genre of like television and movies, I also tend to like fantasy sci-fi, but once again, lean more towards the fantasy. But I don't know. It's weird for me. In the categories of science fiction and horror, I will watch them. And it's one of those things where I feel like they're either really good. They're either like, or they're really, really good. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like for some reason, science fiction and horror stories can really elevate as a genre more so.
The fantastical elements.
I mean, it's not just the fantastical elements. Whatever the underlying theme is, I feel like it translates that much better in science fiction and horror for some reason. Hmm. So, like, whatever happens in there, I feel like it sticks with me more if it's done really, really well. Hmm. Like, if it's just kind of so-so, it's so-so. But, like, for the really well-done stuff, I'm just like, it just sticks with me. Something about those two genres. I don't know.
Okay. Well, it just could be that this is the best way that you receive a story. Like, in it being wrapped up in this way, that you receive the message of the story the best.
Could be. Through those elements. I just find it odd, though, considering that I like fantasy more, but that I receive it better, apparently, via horror.
No, it's true, because in my studies of story, sorry, getting really blurry and nerdy right now.
No, but in my elements of
stories are, like, storytelling is our original, like a human original way to receive messaging. So it's like, it's as old as time for a reason. And it is wrapped. And it's so, because there's so many types of storytelling now, it's like whatever storytelling, whatever messaging is wrapped around, whatever that message is, and it's wrapped in, that you receive the best is the best vehicle for you to get something. So if you're not someone who, let's say you're someone who's into sports, this is what advertisers do all the time. So if you're somebody's into sports, wrapping the message of you need to buy this product for whatever around a sports issue or a sports person or a sports figure, which is why athletes make a lot of money off advertising, it's because it speaks to you the most. You know, the Wheaties, the cereal, the box, all that kind of stuff. So it's like whatever reaches you the most, it could be animation. If you're someone, you love anime, the messaging through the anime just pulls you because of the art, the form, the whatever. It's the box that it's in, but the messaging helps you to receive it better. That's what that's the beauty of storytelling. And I get that why you're saying that. It's just these elements help you better grasp a story. You know what I mean? So to me, horror wouldn't help me at all. I mean, I would try to, but I don't like horror stuff. So I could not better receive a story thing. I would be confused, honestly, or just disgusted by certain things. And I would not, so that's not the best vehicle for me to receive a story. But if it is to you, then that's why they wrap these things. So it's like, you would understand a Jordan Peele movie more than I would. Or I would probably maybe get, I don't know, you'd be kind of like, all the other things I like, you really like. a slice of life stuff. Like, you don't like slice of life, but I get slice of life so much.
I don't dislike it, though.
No, you don't dislike it, but it makes more sense to me. Mm. I really enjoy slice of life. Mm-hmm. That's why I tend to be now more, when it comes to anime, I tend to watch more shoujo animes, mm-hmm. not because I like romance, but because I just enjoy the anime style, mm-hmm. but I enjoy receiving it and seeing it, just the regular life stuff. Mm-hmm. And I grasp the emotions better. Like, it just speaks to me in that way. I don't know why, but it does. So I love something like Kotaro Lives Alone or Horiyama.
Oh, I loved that.
People are like, this is boring. I'm like, no, it's not.
I was so disappointed to be on IMDb because sometimes I just check in on shows that I love.
I don't think they're making another
Kotaro. Yeah, because it used to have the dash after the year where it gave you hope that there would be another one. And now it's just like 2020 or 2021 or whatever it is with no dash or anything. They're like, no!
Right. So people who like science, these are the vehicles in which they need to receive. People who like fighting stuff and all that kind of thing, these are the ways you need to receive the story. That it will, the message will be more salient to you. That's the way we explain it in school.
It's just that much more interesting to me, just because I would have thought that fantasy would have been the best vehicle, since that's like my favorite genre. But it, I don't know, it comes through. When it's done really well,
sci-fi
more
and horror.
In sci-fi and horror, or maybe it's just that certain those creators just put those type of deeper messages in them more.
Right, and it could be that too. So it's just like the deeper message is what you always should be looking for certain things, because that's the main purpose of them. The story is a vehicle, but the main thing is what's in the vehicle is the messaging, and so it's just the way it's wrapped. What the car looks like on the outside is just extra. But if it's not attractive to you from the onset, it's just like how some people like Lamborghinis, some people like Hummers. I mean, I personally like my regular cars. To me, Lamborghinis are mad small. I don't understand them. Understand why someone likes them. And they're expensive for no reason. Why do they cost a house? I don't know. But somebody likes it because of the floss, the sleekness. Wrap it up in that. Mm-hmm. All the stuff attached to that. This high elevation, this high social status, that I can afford this. All those things are what's inside the vehicle, with the meanings that are attached to it. But that's why somebody would go for it, for what it says about them. The stat. Somebody likes a Hummer. I like big. I like to dominate. I like like to control over the road. I like something big.
Big is better.
Right. That could be for
big
somebody.
In Texas.
That could be for somebody too. And I'm like, I don't see both sides. Honestly, I like my regular car. Thank you. Functionality. But it's just that's how it works with stories too. Once it's wrapped in something that's more salient, that you find more attractive, you can receive that message in it better, you know. That's what we studied when we were talking about storytelling in school and stuff. So sorry I got really nerdy, but it's like that's really the key behind storytelling, why it works so much, or why certain things work for you and work for others.
That. I mean, that's why we're both blurreds, girl. I like when you get super blurdy.
Thank you.
Because then it gives me a vehicle to understand why I like certain things better. And I think other people too who might be listening is like, oh, maybe that. And I feel like if you understand why you like something better, then if you're a creative, it can help you to create your own stuff by knowing.
And you can attract other people that like certain things better too. Because I like my mom, get anything Bible related and she's on board. Anything Christian, anything Jesus-y, she like. Otherwise, if it's stuff that I like, she's just like, why are you watching cartoons? I'm like, it's not a cartoon. But if she sit there and then watch Naruto with me, then she'd be like, oh, are you watching Naruto today? Okay, I'll watch this with you. Or I'll watch Avatar with you. Mm-hmm. I can get her to watch if she just sits. It's not the things she likes the most, but I can try and get her to understand my point when she just sits with it. Mm-hmm. And I explain things to her because she doesn't get it. But if she's watching something that she gets and she likes, she loves, I just have to sit with her too, because I was like, I don't know why we're watching this, but I'm going to sit with you because this is what you like. So it helps you even connect with people too. Mm-hmm. You know what this person likes, what that person likes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It really helps to understand. But I feel like that's the beauty of the humans. And there's so much diversity in various things that we can do and within ourselves. Like, it's so cool. That's why I find people fascinating, actually. I know people are like, people are annoying. But I actually find people, the creation of people, the people itself, what people are, I find it very fascinating. Anyway, but are you ready to go for a review?
It's interesting when you said about people, because I don't know what it was, if it was a movie I was watching or if it was a TV show, but somebody in something was saying that a person is smart, people are stupid.
Ain't that something? That's a whole statement right there.
But I was like, that makes sense. Once people get into that kind of hive mentality, like they, it's just like, it's not, it's like, but like one-on-one, like a person is smart, people are stupid.
Right. Because anyway, we could get into that all day. I have so much stuff, but I feel like the way I'm going, it will get political and I'm not trying to do that. Anyway, let's go to review.
Anyway.
All right, guys. So my review, rating. Give me my rating for this. Oh man. I thought I had mine set in stone.
Don't let me influence you, because mine, if I were to watch it again, and once I post this to our actual like website, you know, I decide to revise it, I might. I'm gonna go with what I'm gonna go with, which is not gonna be a 10, but I might revise it to a 10 later.
I'm gonna say 10 glasses because I felt like this film was just impeccably made. Mm. It's like a quality that we are not seeing. Mm. It's unique. Right now, I mean, it is just a film. There's been films about deserts and stuff.
And Timothée Chalamet is on a roll.
Everybody was on a roll. All the acting, the story. He did such a good job paying attention and bringing this story to life. And, like, this could be a story that you could not care anything about. Like, if I watched the 80s version one, I'd be like, okay, this is...
I still thought the 80s one was fun.
It was interesting, but I'd be like, this is not a big deal. But the way he put this film and the way he expressed it, displayed it, it just makes me care about it, makes me want to know, makes me interested, pulls me in. Mm. I'm drawn to it, and I don't have any negatives. I don't have any critiques.
I don't have any negatives either.
I don't have any critiques. I felt like this one was even better than the first one. Mm. So I'm going to give it a 10 just because it was really good. I really want to watch it again, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Not in IMAX. I can't do the IMAX again because my ears can't take it.
Gotcha.
Dang it. So 10 glasses from Bolo.
Okay. This is really hard because I'm still kind of like going back and forth on, because it's similar to like for Bob Marley. I was like, it doesn't get a 10, but I can't tell you why.
I didn't give it a 10 either, but I had my reasons.
For this one, it is very close to being a 10, but I don't know if I want to give it a 10 because, you know, there's certain things where in your head, when you're done with it, you immediately know. For this one, I'm like, I'm not sure because this is like awesome. But I'm not sure if in my head
you would give it a 10.
It's a 10.
You have to wrestle with it and think about it. Because if you're not giving something a 10, there's a reason. There is a reason. But give it the rating you want to give it right now. And that's fine.
I'm going to give it 9 glasses, a monocle, and a contact lens.
Hey!
9.75. And like I said, I might revise it just on our website or something later.
In the show notes.
I might like go back if I like. I mean, because I'm sure I probably actually will rewatch it while it's in theaters because it was just great. It was great.
I do want to watch it again, to be honest with you.
And if I rewatch Dune it, because it's 2. Been a week, because I usually actually prefer to do it like maybe within a day of seeing it, because you know that my powers of retention.
I don't know that song, but okay, I understand what you're saying. Prepared. Your memory is not very great.
It's from Lion King. It's Be Prepared. Because it's the very beginning of the song. You know that your powers of retention are as wet as a warthog's backside.
You know, I still like Lion King 2 more than 1. But
I love 1. I don't remember 2 as much.
2 I remember. I watched 2 the most. And I know all the songs from 2. Deception. Okay, we're done.
Yeah, but maybe if it was a little bit fresher, because it's been a full week.
Okay.
So a full week for me to like not be certain on what, like, I mean, I didn't come out of the theater in my head, I think, with like a rating, but like it's a week later now, so I'm like I know it was fantastic, I remember loving it and thinking it was epic and awesome.
Yeah, all the action sequences, everything.
I'm not sure.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it immensely.
In my mind, it's a 10. I don't have anything to detract from it, but there's just sometimes where you can't.
Yeah, it don't have to be a 10 for you.
Yeah.
It but probably like, had some emotional impact that didn't hit that you're probably
maybe. So I'm going to keep mine at 9.75. But if I do rewatch it and revise it, I'll let you guys know.
All right, guys. So that you heard
let
that.
Let me do the messy math for this.
Okay, 10 and 9.75.
Yeah.
Let's see how
messy.
Many.
It's messy.
Maybe just round it.
9.875. We might as well say 10.
Yeah. That's a 10. So average score for us blurred is 10 glasses. I mean, for Dune Part 2.
Yeah. Woo-hoo! If we want to be technical and precise, 9.875, which is closer to, I think it's closer. Yeah. Yeah, it's closer to 9.75, right. But we can round it off to a 10.
Okay, Whitney.
Because like I said, I might be revising it anyway.
I can't with her. Anyway, guys. All right, Go see it, y'all.
I mean, everybody else is going to see it anyway.
Right.
And there's a reason for it. There's a good reason for it.
It's really good,
epic.
Y'all.
It is like Homer's Odyssey epic levels. Right. It just feels epic. And
I
just
agree. It was so good. I'm probably going to watch it again sometime soon. Yeah. In the theater again without the IMAX. But y'all enjoy it. And then don't forget, we're going to have that poll. Answer that poll on our TikTok. Check out our show notes for everything else we talked about today. And just remember to blur it out, everybody.
Yeah.
Enjoy the rest of your March. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Please subscribe to our show on whatever podcast listening app you use and share the show with other blurred and non-blurred family and friends. And if you like this episode, please subscribe to our email newsletter at blurredtalkbw.ck.page and also rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts.
Intro and outro music is Twilight by Caption. You can find them on SoundCloud, username Caption spelled CAPSHUN. Show notes by Ola Hansen, audio engineering by Whitney Booker.
And don't forget to get social, you guys. You can email us at blurredtalkbw@gmail.com. And our social media handles on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok is at blurredtalkbw. And our YouTube channel is youtube.com/@blurredtalkbw. And we've got our individual things going on too. You can find the Triple F Queen on Instagram at Triple F Queen B as in boy. And my YouTube channel is youtube.com/@TripleFQueenB.
And you can find me, Whitney, at Luminabi Studios, my company. And the email address is wit@luminabi.com, spelled wit@luminabi.com. And you can also find me on Twitter @LuminabiStudios.